As we wrap up this la these last few weeks of the year of 2024, a lot of people are beginning to think about what 2025 is going to be. What does it hold in store? And as many people are ending out this year of all the tests, trials, tribulations, and situations they've gone through, they have this great expectation of what 2025 is going to look like. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you right now that if you don't make a decision to make some adjustments, some changes, some rearrangements to the way that you think, the way that you speak, the way that you respond, the way that you react, and the way that you deal with situations and circumstances, your 2025 will look a whole lot like your 2024, because you have not done anything any different. And the definition of insanity is doing the exact same thing and expecting something different to happen. What we're going to be talking about today, as we continue in this series of the Law's Confession, is you are in need of an upgrade. You are in need of an upgrade. You know, it's kind of funny that, you know, no matter whether you have an iPhone or you have an Android, but you need to come to the light. And no matter how often you upgrade your phone, no matter what equipment that you have, at some point in time, the developer says that there's an upgrade that you need to have on your phone. And the upgrade is there to address situations, our bugs, our problems, our glitches with our system, but it's also there to improve the functionality and the ability that that phone has, and able to do things that it was not ordinarily able to do before. And the Word of God is the exact same thing. What happens is the Word of God will help you. It's the only book that you can read, and while you're reading it, that book is reading you. It says here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, it talks about how the Word of God, it is quick, and that it's alive, and that it's powerful, and that it's sharper than any two edged sword. It purges asunder between the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow. The Word of God itself is able to discern your very thoughts and intentions. Have you ever noticed that when you're beginning to read the Bible, it's like the Bible's talking back to you? Why? Because the Word of God is alive. And as much as you're open to receive from the Word, is as much as you're able to get from your time spending with God. See, many people are saying, you know, Lord, give me more grace, and God, give me more grace, and God, give me more grace. But see, you find out in the Word of God that, and believe us, in 2 Timothy chapter, I want to say chapter 1 and around verse 2, when it talks about how if you want, it says, through your the knowledge or the increase of the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, that grace will be multiplied to you. So if you want to increase the grace in your life, if you want to increase the level of grace that you have, then it's through the knowledge and understanding of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there is a grace that you receive that, you know, that's available to everybody. The grace is available to a believer, but the grace is also available to a non-believer. Why do you say a grace is not available to the non-believer? Because it's by grace, God's unmerited favor, God's power, God's ability, God's supernatural ability that he is extending towards all mankind to give you the right or privilege to become sons and daughters of God. And all you have to do in order to receive it, all you have to do is believe it. Do I have your attention? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go farther? Are you ready to go into your upgrade? Are you ready to say, Father, I don't want to go into 2024 operating the same way I did as you were. I don't want to go into 2025 operating in the same manner which I did in 2024. So, Father, I'm ready to receive an upgrade. If that's you, I'm glad you joined us today. My name is Milt Jones. I want to thank you for taking time out to join us today. And we're going to talk about this morning how we've been talking in a series of the Laws of Confession. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about there's power in your words, and how, what, you know, if you believe it and, you know, you confess it out of your mouth and you believe it in your heart, you can lay hold on the things that it is that you're believing to receive. And we talked about how the fact that, you know, there's authority in your words. And when you realize that there's authority in your words and everything, that you know that, you know, just like Jesus, when you speak to a situation, just like he spoke to situations, you can speak to a situation. And we also found out about the original intent God had for words. It wasn't necessarily for communication, but for creativity. And we found out that how God created his world is the same way by which we're able to create our world, through our words and by the things that we say. Because, you know, for every word that is, you know, it says in Matthew chapter 12, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So why is it important to you? What difference does it make what you say? Well, we talked about last week when we was talking about the authority that's in your words. We talked about how in James chapter 3, it talked about how, you know, it only takes one spark to start a fire. It takes one spark to start a fire. In fact, it says this in James chapter 3. I'm reading out of the New King James Version, and I'm starting with verse number 5, and it says this: even so, the tongue is a little member and boast great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who God has made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, and a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. What is he trying to say? He's trying to say that your tongue was never intended to be used to create curse or create death or create chaos. Well, we talked about how in Proverbs chapter 18, 21 talks about how out of the abundance of the, he says this, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. So you're either creating death or you're creating life out of the power of your tongue. How the fact that your words will actually produce results. Many people say, you know, I can just say whatever I say. I don't mean it. I'm just joking around. I'm just playing. Ladies and gentlemen, what you don't understand is in the spirit realm doesn't know the difference. Your faith doesn't know the difference whether you're playing or whether you're being serious. So what happens is when you release the words out of your mouth, whether for life or for death, then you release words, your faith goes to work on trying to bring those words to pass. I'll take it a step even further. When you speak words, depending on whether you're speaking words of life in alignment with the kingdom of God, or you speak words of death in alignment for the kingdom of darkness, you're either dispatching your ministering angel to go forth to bring to pass those things which you said concerning the word of God, or you're dispatching a demonic spirit to go forth to bring those things that you said in conjunction with the kingdom of darkness. See, the adversary is not after your house. The adversary is not after your job. The adversary is not after your family. The adversary is not after anything that you own. You know what he's after? The words that are coming out of your mouth. Why? Because he knows that there's power in the word. So why does chaos and calamity come to you? Because what he's hoping to do is through chaos, through calamity, through confusion, is to squeeze you to get you to say things opposite to what it is God said. And he knows when you begin to say things opposite to what it is that God says, you can't see God's results because you're no longer speaking God's words. Are you with me so far? I know you're sitting there scratching your head like, you mean in my little mouth? Yep, that little bitty thing that's on the inside of your mouth has the ability that based off of the delegated authority given to you by our Lord Jesus Christ when he resurrected from the dead, it has given you the ability to create life or to create death, to create blessings or to create cursing. And it's all determined by the words that come out of your mouth. How do you know? Well, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, it says this. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. So you can call yourself a peach tree all day long. You can call yourself peachy. You can wear peach out costumes and whole nine yards. You can even have peach cologne when you walking through the mall. Guess what happens though? But if you keep producing apples, no matter how much you keep calling yourself a peach tree, people gonna look at you like you crazy. Why your kids look like they got apples? And why do you have apples in your house? And why do you? Because even though you call yourself a peach, in your true nature is you are an apple. And though you call yourself a follower of Jesus, the truth of what you really believe, the truth of where it is that your faith, your confidence, your full persuasion is, what it is that you really lay hold on will come out when you get squeezed. I told a guy the other day, I said, man, it's like a Twinkie. If you really want to know what's on the inside of a Twinkie or filled donut, all you got to do is squeeze that thing, and whatever's on the inside is what's going to come out. And that's what it's saying here. Whatever's on the inside of you is going to come out. And how do you know when is it going to come out? It says this, it goes on and says, it says, you brood of vipers, how can you be an evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, where's the words going to come from? Out of your heart, your mouth speaks. So if I really want to know where you are, if I really want to know what you believe, if I really want to know what you think, all I have to do is listen to the words that come out of your mouth. My wife said to me one day, she says, people like to talk to you. I said, she said, why is that? I said, because people like to talk, and I just let them talk. And usually when they talk, they're talking about themselves. It doesn't bother me. I just kind of listen to it until I get to the point like, okay, all right, I'm giving them 5, 10, 15. Okay, cool. Now I'm about to walk away. Because you don't also don't want to become somebody's dump site. What is a dump site? A dump site is when they're dumping all their situations and circumstances on you, hoping that you're going to be the one who, you know, they feel better because they've dumped all their garbage out on you, but you feel horrible because you just ingested all their stuff. Even when we counsel with people, we're talking to them, but I can tell you at the end of that conversation, Father, we cast all those cares unto you, for we care for you. We cast it as far as from the east as from the west. Why? Because you're not trying to carry all that other people's baggage with you. He says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So if you know that a tree is known by the fruit it is bear, whether it's good or whether it's evil, how do you determine whether it's good or whether it's evil? Well, it goes on to tell you this. It says, for a good man out of the good treasure, that word treasure there means deposits. A good man out of the good deposit of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil deposits of his heart brings forth evil things. He says, but I'm saying to you, and I'm saying to you, just like the Father said to me, and he's telling it to everybody, he says, you will give an account of every idle word. That word idle means pointless, meaningless word that you speak. You will give an account for it in the day of judgment. He says, for by your words, listen to this, by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Who is the deciding factor? Did it say that God was going to do it? Did it say that the adversary was going to do it? Did it say it was based off what your pastor said? It didn't say any of those things. I will tell you, when you come to service on Sundays, the pastor is giving you the word of the Lord that he or she should be giving you, the word of the Lord that he's given to them. Then what is your responsibility? Because this is where so many people in the body of Christ are missing it. They believe once the pastor gives me the word, that's it. Nope, that's the starting point. Once you get the word from your pastor or apostle or prophet, evangelist or teacher, when you get the word, Your responsibility is to do what 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15 says, is to study to show yourself approved, a workman needeth not be ashamed, that you can rightly divide the word of truth. If you haven't been doing that in 2024 and you're about to go into 2025, I'm going to save you a lot of time and confusion and misconception. Your 2025 will look just like your 2024 because you have not upgraded the way that you think, the way that you respond, the way that you act, the way that you talk, the way that you play, the way that you, all those kind of things. Because if you don't upgrade your way that you think, you will continue to do. Because see, you got to understand this. You have a mind, you have a will, and you have an emotion. You're a feeler, you're choosing, you're thinking. You will hear words, and those words will produce a thought. Those thoughts, if you think about it long enough, will produce feelings. Those feelings long enough will produce an action. Those actions will produce a decision. A decision long enough produce an action. And the moment you make it act out on what it is that you've been thinking, you will get a result. If you want to change the result, the first thing you got to do is you got to change what it is that you, how you act. And the way you're going to change that is going to be based off of what it is that you have decided. And the way you're going to change the way that you decide is based on how you feel. And the ways you're going to change how you feel is going to be based on what you think. And the way that you think, if you want to change that, you got to change the words that you are allowing to come through your ears, what it is that you hear, your eyes, what it is that you allow yourself to see, and your heart, based off of the things that you allow to come on the inside of you and the things that you're saying out of your own mouth. It all ties together, but it all starts with words that are coming out of your mouth. What deposits are you making in your heart? Are you making deposits of good based off of God's word, or are you making deposits of evil based off of all the things and crazies and circumstances that's going on all around you? Now, I will say this to you. God is with you. See, most people say, well, I can't do all those things, and how I'm going to do all those things, and how I'm going to be able to say all those things, and how I'm going to learn all these things, and how I'm going to get this upgraded, how I'm going to change the way that I talk, and how am I going to change it? God is with you. In fact, he said this. He told me to share this with you. He says, you know, God says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, it is God who's working in you, if you're a follower of Jesus, both to will and to do his good pleasure. So it's not just you all on your own, and you got to try to figure it out. You got to do this. You got to. No. God says, I am actively working with you. In fact, I'm in you, helping you to have the will or the desire to do what it is that I want you to do. And he is also there to help you, not only to give you the will to do it, but he's also there to help you to do his good pleasure. He also goes on to say this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And this is that you can hang your hat on. He says he wants you to be confident of this very thing. If you're not confident about anything else I've said to you so far, be confident of this very thing. That God, who has begun the work in you, he will continue with you to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, no matter how long it takes you to get there, God is going to be working with you. He's going to be working in you. He's going to be helping you and to bring about his will, his plan in you. And he's going to do it how long? And to the day of Jesus Christ. Somebody might say, but sometimes you don't understand. I feel so alone. Well, God told me to remind you of this message. He said, in accordance to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, when you're going through this upgrade, you're not going through it alone, because God is with you. He said this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. He says, be content in such things as you have. For God himself has said this, and this is what he's saying to you. He says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. He says, so I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. So you will be able to boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Come on, say that with me. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Another way to say that, if God be for you, who can be against you? You got to get a little bit of attitude. If God be for me, who can be against me? I can answer that question for you. Nobody can be against you. They can try, but it's foolishness because at the end of the day, they will get whooped and ran right out of town. Now you say, well, how? I thought God was on the throne. I thought Jesus was sitting at the right hand of God. How is God going to be with me always and that he's never going to leave me and he's never going to forsake me? And how is he going to be working in me? And how is he going to do to help me with this upgrading? How is he going to be able to make sure that I get from point A to point B to point C all the way to Z? How is he going to do that? What is he going to upgrade me with? Well, if you've ever received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you've already gone through an upgrade. And what was that upgrade? You were born again from above, which means you receive the person of the Holy Spirit. See, when you get born again, God makes the great upgrade in exchange with you. He takes out that nature of sin that was on the inside of you, and then he replaces it with the nature of God. He replaces it with the Holy Spirit who now abides on the inside of your spirit, because you are a spirit who lives in a body that possesses a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotion, your feeler, your true, your thinker. And he says, I've given to you an upgrade. And see, and but just like on your Apple phone or your Android phone, when that upgrade alert comes, it always asks you a question: do you want to upgrade or install the upgrade now? And you have a decision to make whether you're going to click, yep, go ahead and do it later, or you can keep canceling the upgrade, canceling the upgrade. And guess what? Your phone will still function, but never to the point to which God created or the manufacturer created it to function. The same thing is true here. When you get born again and he takes out that old sin nature and he places his nature through the person of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you have an opportunity to either click, yes, I'm ready to upgrade, or you can keep canceling by continuing to operate according to the ways that you did before, and you will not see the benefits, the full abilities that you would have if you truly upgraded and allowed the Holy Spirit to do what He's called to do in you. God told me to remind you of this, that in accordance to John chapter 14, verse 16, talking about God's never going to leave me, He's never going to be forsake me. He says this, Jesus says this, verse 16, as you were. Yes, John chapter 14, verse 16 says this, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter. And this is what He would do. The comforter, this the one that Jesus is praying for you and I, he says, he will abide with you forever. What does that mean? He's going to be with you, live with you, stay with you, dwell with you. How long? Forever. Who's this helper? The Spirit of truth. Now, you got to understand, the world cannot receive him because it does not see him, nor does the world even knows him. In fact, when you tell people about the Holy Spirit, they might laugh at you like, Holy Spirit, woo-hoo, thank you, spooky. But he says, but you know him, talking about if you're a born again believer, you know him. How do you know him? For he, talking about the Holy Spirit, he dwells with you and he will be in you. I've heard somebody say, you know, if you sin, then the Holy Spirit is going to leave you. Wrong answer. There's nowhere scripturally it says that. The word of God says that the Lord never leaves you nor forsakes you. It says the Holy Spirit is with you forever. Now, whenever you get ready to go do what you're going to do, you're taking the Holy Spirit with you. So if you want to go out and get drunk, you're taking the Holy Spirit with you. You want to go out and get lit, smoking weed, crack, whatever you're going to do, Holy Spirit goes with you. You want to go out there and party hardy and sleep with everything that has two legs, the Holy Spirit is with you. Why is he with you? Because he's going to be the one who's going to lead you out of that situation and circumstances the moment you push that, yep, I'm ready to upgrade. Yep, Holy Spirit, help me out of this. Holy Spirit, show me what to do. Holy Spirit, I don't know how to stop this. Holy Spirit, I don't know what to say in this situation. What does the Holy Spirit also do? It says this in verse number 26, John chapter 14, 26. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit will teach you in all things and bring back to your remembrance all the things which Jesus has said unto you. How do you continue the upgrade? The Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit will, even if you forgot, the Holy Spirit will bring those things back to your remembrance, so you'll be able to what? Be able to continue to do the things that you need to do. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. What is truth? The truth is, in accordance to John chapter 17, 17, Jesus says this to the Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. In other words, sanctify means to make them holy. Make them holy by your truth. Your word is the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says this about you, and we're about to wrap it up. You have to upgrade. You're in need of an upgrade, and the only way you're going to see a different result in 2025 than you said than you do in 2024, you are in need of an upgrade. An upgrade begins with what are you allowing, the words that you're allowing to come into your heart, the words that you're allowing to go in your ears, the words that you're allowing to come out of your mouth, the words that you're allowing to go through your eyes. What deposits are you making that's going to shape the words that are going to be in your heart, that's going to shape the words that are going to come out of your mouth, that's going to shape the words and the causing decisions and thoughts and actions that will lead you down a road that you never intended to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 to 17 says it this way. I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you're ingrained and grafted in Christ, the Messiah, you are a new creature. You're a new creation. You're a new creature who is altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. You are not who you used to be. Behold, the fresh and the new has come, but all things are from God, who through Jesus reconciled us to himself, received us into his favor, and brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us, and gave to me, and gave to you the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed, by what? By word and deed, we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. God is saying to you, God is saying to me, God is saying to the world, you're in need of an upgrade. He told you in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. He says this again out of the Amplified. Don't be conformed to this world, this age. Don't be fashioned after and adapted to their external, supernatural customs or systems or ways of doing things. He says, but be transformed when? By the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. The upgrade happens when you allow the Holy Spirit, who's on the inside of you, help to teach you in all things. By what? By the new deposits of the Word of God that you allow to come into your heart. By the new deposits of the Word of God that you're saying out of your mouth. By the new deposit of the Word of God that you're keeping before your eyes. By the new deposits of the Word of God that you're allowing the man and woman of God to preach on Sundays and what you're reading through the week. Remember, you got to keep the word in the midst of your in your eyes. You got to let it be coming out of your mouth. You got to let it go down into your heart. And this is the final scripture. John 8, 31 and 32 says it so beautiful. It says, so Jesus said to those who had believed. See, you already believed. He said, those who believed in him. He says, if you abide in my word. Abide means what? Hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them. He says, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. And that truth does what? It makes you free. Free from what? Free from whatever else that was plaguing you before today. Everything that was plaguing you in 2024 that you don't want to carry with you into 2025, he says, you are in need of an upgrade, and an upgrade comes through his word, and then an upgrade is aptly implemented through the person of the Holy Spirit, and how God is working with you to will and to do his good pleasure. But it takes a decision on your part. Now, next week we're going to be talking about, now that we're in this season, and now that everybody's excited about Christmas, and now everybody's excited about all these things, what's the truth about Christmas? What's the truth about Christmas? So we hope you'll take time to join us next week. On behalf of Pastor Julian and myself, Apostle Milton Jones, I want to thank you for joining us today. God bless you and have a blessed week. Bye-bye.